Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but God are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to try to talk a little slower. Sometimes people complain, say, you're going so fast, I can't write it down by the tape. But I'll try to slow down a little bit. I'm going to talk to you tonight on the subject, promotion to peculiarity. Promotion to peculiarity. You may be seated. Peculiar. You know, sometimes it's said about people, isn't she nice? She's nice. She's a little peculiar, but she's so nice. But she's a little peculiar. That's a way of kind of dissing somebody, and, you know, you don't want to admit they're nice. You don't, you know, they're not your, yeah, they're nice, but they're peculiar. When we say that, we're saying, well, they're a little strange. They're a little odd. They're different than me. And that's the way we use peculiar. The word peculiar is only used maybe 7 or 8 times in the Bible, but it's always used in the same context, both in the Old and New Testament. The word peculiar means different. It means unique. It means special. It means called out. It means set apart. It means solitaire. And so when we say that about people, regardless of what we mean by that, it's not necessarily an insult. Let me read you some more verses real quickly. There's about 5 of them I want to read to you real quickly. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. That's Peter 4:12. Job 14:1. All of these are a little negative, you'll notice. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. That's Job 14:1. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me pull from you the important phrase in each one of them. The first one, strange things happen to you. Say that, strange things happen to you. That's what the scripture said. The next day, the next verse is full of trouble. Everybody say trouble. The next one talks about temptation. Said it's common to us all. The next one talks about fiery trials. And the last one talks about the fiery darts of the devil. This is the litany of life. This happens to people. This is normal, natural, common for many, if not most. This is the answer to the questions that have been the source of a book and question asked by 1 million people. Why do bad things happen to good people? I just told you. Common temptation, fiery trials, fiery darts, trouble, strange things, all of it. It's the litany of life. Your enemy goes about, the Apostle Peter wrote, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. The Adamic fall, Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, released the fox in the chicken house. It is the source of all problem. The Bible said, Job 14:1, few days and full of trouble. And that's where this world lives. That's the general population. This pressure to conformity is limiting at best and fatal at worst. Young people are tremendously susceptible to that. If you can just invent something that young people like, you're going to become a rich person overnight. I have a friend that his son works for one of the NFL stars in Philadelphia, and they won, and they were called the underdogs. And if you happen to watch that game, you saw Lane. He's a great, one of the greatest players in the NFL. He walked out on the floor and on the field afterwards, and he and his friend, and they had dog heads on because they were called the underdogs. And so they had this past Sunday, they had these dog heads. Immediately in Philadelphia, every dog head in every costume store sold out. Well, my friend that works for him said, hey, we got a gold mine here. He rushed and got a T-shirt out, and it's got those pictures of those two guys with dog heads on them, and he has sold 300,000 of them since Sunday. You talk about make money. Why? Because those kids love those dog heads, and the T-shirts are pictures of those two guys with dog heads, and it said, Feed the dogs. That's what it says, because they're going to play next Sunday, and they're planning on going to the Super Bowl. We'll see if they do. But the point is, are you from Philadelphia? It's all right. We don't have a team in San Antonio, so go ahead. But the point is, the conformity, just find something young people like, you're going to become extremely rich. The pressure to conformity is limiting at best and fatal at worst. This herd mentality is one of the most effective adversarial weapons that the enemy has to keep people from achieving what God wants them to have or what God wants them to be. If you'll notice, millionaires don't become millionaires in herds. Are groups. They come by ones. It's the old saying, chickens goes in flocks, but eagles fly alone. And so when you develop that herd mentality, you're setting yourself for a certain ceiling. You're going to be limited, not to be what God has designed you to be, but what the general population decides you will be. Well, friend, I don't want to be normal. I want to be abnormal. I don't want to be common. I want to be uncommon. I don't want to be natural. I want to be supernatural. I don't want to be many. I want to be one out of many. The Bible said in Luke 4, 25 and 26, it tells the story, and it said there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elisha, when the heavens were shut up, but only one, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save one. Just one out of all the widows that were in there. It says in that same context in Luke 4, 27, and many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed save Naaman. All the lepers, the only one that was healed of leprosy was Naaman the Syrian. What's the point? The point is it does not happen to the masses. It happens to one out of many. And I'm going to explain to you why. Friend, I have been blessed by God. I've been blessed. The Bible says it this way, blessed above your fellows. Blessed above your fellows. If you want to be normal, then you're going to live a normal life, and that normal life is going to be full of trouble, many temptations, on and on and on. All of that is average. That's the way the world lives. But there is a principle in the Word of God that I wish that you could embrace and understand. And that is that God chooses certain people. And he chooses people not by their race, not by their ability, not by their stature. He chooses by the content of what Dr. King called the content of their character, or the essence of their heart, is why God chooses certain people. Look at this passage. And like I said, I'm going to slow down and read it, because if you can understand this and grasp this, and I've done this in my life, and the people that were my peers in the past, I'm talking about in the ministry and people I grew up with, they live a totally different lifestyle than I do. My lifestyle is so much better, not because of me, but because of him. And he, the good thing about God has all wisdom, God has all wealth, he has all blessing, and the good thing about God is he is available to all, whosoever will. And so look at what this passage is, John chapter 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends And here is the kicker. This is the key. This is the essence of everything we're talking about. If you do whatsoever I command you. We're living in a whole Christian society that want plaques on refrigerators, magnetic stickers on refrigerators to be their theology. And they think that if they can recite that verse over and over and over, just one verse taken out of context, that their life is going to be dramatically changed. No, they're still going to be like all the other lepers in Israel. They're going to be like all the other widows in Israel. Their life is not going to drastically change, and they're going to wonder why. But Jesus said, "You are my friends." We love to sing, "We are the friends of God." But we don't love to sing, "We will do whatsoever he commands us." He said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants." Most Christians today are servants at best. And study Galatians sometime. It's a great study. I've taught it many times. But it distinguishes between servants, friends, children, sons. Just because you're a Christian does not mean you all fit in the same slot. You're not all in the same place. Hopefully we will all go to the same heaven, and I can't even guarantee that. But just because we're Christians does not mean that we are all living at the same level. Jesus said, "I will no longer call you servants, but now you are my friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." In other words, he doesn't have a real tight relationship with the Lord. There are so many Christians that have accepted the Lord and they confessed him as their Savior, but they don't know what the Lord is doing because they don't have a relationship. In order to know what's going on in somebody's life, you have to be in a tight relationship with him. That's the reason why Jesus used every kind of relationship that he could think of, God did, to equate his people with him. He talked about us being his friend. He talked about us being his sons, his children, his daughters. He talked about us being his wife. Every kind of relationship, because he was asking us to develop the closest, most intimate relationship that we could possibly have with him. So it's the servants. They don't know what's going to happen. There are people that are by the millions, call themselves Christians, and they are totally unaware with what's happening in this world. And there is a small minority of Christians that are astute, that are students of the things of God. They're spiritual. They're in sync with the Lord. They hear his voice, like I said last Wednesday night. And they see, like I said on Sunday, they see the things of God. They have that relationship. But he said, servants, he said, they know not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friend, if you want to escape the common temptations, if you want to escape the fullness of trouble in your short life, if you want to escape what is normal in this world, you have to have a different kind of relationship with Jesus. Not to be a servant of the Lord, but to be a friend of God. But this is the part I want to get to. You have not chosen me. When you got saved, you chose the Lord. Because he's not willing that any should perish. And the difference between those that perish and those that don't perish is the ones that choose him. You hear the gospel story, you make a decision. I'm going to turn my back on the world. I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Savior. You make that choice. But now he's talking to a unique group of followers here. He said, "You have not chosen me." He's not talking about salvation now. He's talking about a promotion. He's talking about an elevation. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." There are very few Christians that are living in John 15:16. Let me break it down again. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I've ordained you. God said, "I ordained it. I planned it. I wrote it down. I announced it. And this is what I've announced, that you should go and bring forth fruit." Are you fruitful as a Christian? I see so many Christians that have absolutely no fruit in their life. Apparently they're going to heaven, or at least they believe they are, but there's not one bit of difference between them and the world in their lifestyle, and they live a totally fruitless life. They're depressed. They're going through marriage after marriage. They're going through difficulty after difficulty. Their life is a few days and full of trouble. Their temptations are common to all man. The devil is attacking them. It's just a constant battle in their life every time you talk to them. And we've been schooled by pastors and preachers and teachers to believe that's common. Oh, no, that's common for the world, but it's not supposed to be common for us. We have been chosen by God. We didn't choose. We chose him as our Savior, but now he has singled us out. Remember, his eye is going forth. He has singled us out. And he said, it is ordained. That means it is actually stated. It's set down. It's declared. It's ordained that you're going to go out and be fruitful. And not only that, have you seen people? I had a friend, he's dead now, but I'd see him 1 year, and the guy would be worth $3 million. And the next time I saw him, he would be absolutely at the bottom looking for a job. And I don't know how many times I experienced with him. His fruit could not remain because he was a servant of God, but he certainly was not the friend of God. And so God said, Jesus said, your fruit should remain. And then he capped it off with this, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Friend, there is a life. And you say, you should have preached this on Sunday. Why? That's a whole different crowd. You are a peculiar group of people. When it drops to 20 degrees in San Antonio, Texas on a Wednesday night, you say, you didn't. There are people in this building never even gave it a thought. You didn't even say, Mama, we shouldn't go tonight. It's too cold. It wasn't even a discussion. Why? Because you are a peculiar person. You're not like the normal person you work with. You are a totally different species. And they can understand why you're blessed. Work at the same place and drive a better car. Work at the same place, live in a better house. Have a family, have blessings, and they just can't quite get it. You've been ordained. God has chosen you. He's called you out. And he said, not only that, but he said, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Folks, I'm just bold enough to believe that I'm living in the 16th verse of the 15th chapter of St. John. And not only that, I believe I'm in the last sentence of that paragraph. I believe what I ask of the Father in the Lord's name, he's going to give it to me. You know, I've said this many times before. I hate to be at the mercy of men because men don't have a lot of mercy. Their attitude will supplant their mercy. Their ambition is greater than their mercy. Their desire to covet, it's greater than, there's all kinds of things that are great, but there's nothing greater in the character of God than his mercy. So I hate to be at the mercy of men, but I love being at the mercy of God. In him, praise God, his mercy endureth forever. I'm at the mercy of God. If you can get to the place where you are the chosen of God, and then you are a recipient of the mercy of God, you're going to find out that your life is not a few days and full of trouble. Your life is going to be a long life, according to the Word of God, and it's going to be from victory to victory and faith to faith, because you have been promoted to be a peculiar people, a standout people, a different people than the people that you see all around you, than your family. It doesn't have anything with your genealogy and who your mama and your daddy was. It was the fact that you got close to the Lord, and the Lord said, I choose you. You're chosen. Your fruit, you're going to get great fruit, and your fruit is going to remain, and whatsoever you ask in the Father's name, I'm going to do that. Okay, and so I talked about the mercy to set this up. You are in a pitiful predicament when you are at the mercy of man. And you are in a pitiful predicament when your promotion comes from man. Because men generally will not promote you unless there's something in it for them. And even after they've promoted you, sometimes if you don't do what they want, they'll jerk the rug out from under you. So you really don't want the promotion of man. It's not high enough. When you get promoted, man, he won't promote you high enough, and he won't promote you long enough. But oh, when God promotes you, he will promote you way above your fellows. He'll promote you above your ability. He'll promote you above your skills. You'll just be there because the Lord put you there. And all the haters will be saying, how come she got that job? How come she got that promotion? I'm more skilled. I got more degrees than she's got. I've got more experience than she's got. That's because they wanted to be the one that promoted you so they could control you. Friend, when you get to the place where the Lord promotes you, listen to what he said, David, in the 75th Psalm, 6th verse. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. Praise God. Oh, when God sets you up, nobody can pull you down. When you're in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out. Okay, let's talk about this promotion for just a moment. Hebrews 2:6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? What, he's just a few days and full of trouble. He has common temptation. He experiences fiery darts. He goes through fiery trials. That's the normal thing. That's what man is. But what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Hebrews 2:7. Thou madest him, this is talking about Christ. But let me make the connection for you. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. You see, he experienced that few days and full of trouble. His life was short. I've outlived Jesus 2 times. He died at 33. I'm 45 years old. 68, somewhere in there. You choose. You figure it out. I've outlived him twice. He was a few days and full of trouble. But look what it said. He tasted death for every man. He took my place. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. In other words, he was the creator in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible coming up. For both he that sanctifieth, who is he that sanctifieth? Jesus. That they who are sanctified, who is those who are sanctified? You and me, we've been sanctified, are all of one. He said he that sanctifieth and he that is sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He said because you and Christ are the same, Jesus calls you brother or sister. He says we are on the same level. Do you understand what it means to become a sibling of Jesus Christ? It changes everything. You're promoted. You're unique. You are peculiar. When you become a sibling of Christ, that's what this passage says can happen if you're chosen by him. And when that happens, you're promoted to a peculiar place in the world. There won't be many like you. You say, well, there's 1 billion Christians in the world. Not 1 billion peculiar Christians. There's not. There's those brand X Christians. Those are normal Christians that accepted Christ. So when they die, everything's going to be all right. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people living like Christ lived on this earth. Everything put under your feet. Nothing denied to you. Whatever you ask the Father in his name, it is done. That is a peculiar group of people. You know, we love everybody, every charismatic particular, but everybody loves this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That scripture is not written for the general Christian population. It's written for those that are chosen. Just be honest. Do most things work good in people's lives? No. There are a few days and full of trouble. They have common temptation. They got one trouble after. That's the reason why they're not here tonight. You know the reason why you're here and they're not here? They're home putting out fires because they got fiery trials and they got fiery darts. But you didn't have any fiery darts or fiery trials. So you said, I can go to the house of the Lord and sit in comfort and be in his house and in his presence in fullness of joy. While they're out there fighting all that stuff, you're in here just basking in the presence of the Lord because you are unique. You are peculiar. You have been promoted to a peculiar place in this world. There's not a lot of people on this planet like you. You're something special. And praise God, you need to announce that to your husband. Don't treat me like that. You're dealing with God's property. I'm peculiar. I'm special. I'm set apart. I'm blessed, coming and going. Whatever I ask the Father in Jesus' name, he's going to give me. This scripture where it says all things work together is not written for the general population. It's written for the chosen. And we are those chosen people. We are those peculiar people. We have been promoted to peculiarity. It is a strange place. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should be called, that you should show forth the praise of God and call you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Praise God. Peculiar, different, unique, special, called out. Like I said, this verse is only used just a few times in the Bible. Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice. See how it keeps coming. Every time he talks about peculiar and he talks about what he's going to do for that chosen people, it always gets back into the same thing. Obey my commandments. Obey my word. Obey my voice. Do you know how many Christians are obeying the voice of the Lord on a daily basis? Well, it won't stress you. You won't have to take off your shoes to count. It's not that high a number. It's a small minority of Christians. I'm not saying they're lost because I'm not their judge. I am nothing but a messenger. I'm just telling you there is a higher calling. There's a higher place. You can become unique. You can become peculiar. You can be sorted out and set apart for a blessing that other people do not have. Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He said, you are a peculiar treasure. A peculiar treasure receives a peculiar treasure. You say, well, you see, Pastor Brandon stood up here and read these preposterous reports. Said, I don't believe that. That's because you haven't been chosen. When I hear about somebody getting $39,000 check, I can say, yeah, that's happened to me. That's happened to me. They're living in my land now. They're traveling in my lane now. I've been blessed coming in and going out. I was absolutely nobody. A little country boy from southern Illinois that moved to Indiana. And it's just unbelievable that God would bless me like he's blessed me. But praise God, it's because I am a peculiar person. I'm not like most people. I had a friend, she's just a straight running heathen, but I loved her. I love a lot of people that are not saved and like them and have friendships with them. But she said, Pastor, Steve, I'd like to come to your church, but you and that church are just so different. What she was saying was, you're peculiar. And she was saying, she liked blessing. She wanted blessing in her life. She wanted the blessing, but she didn't want to be peculiar. She wanted to be like everybody else on planet Earth, in America, in the state of Texas. You can't do that and eat at the table I'm eating and drink at the wine I'm drinking and experience what I'm experiencing. You're going to have to be called out. You're going to have to be separated. You're going to have to be chosen by God. And if you'll get your heart where you're hungry for the things of God, God will choose you and call you out. praise God, a peculiar people, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people with himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. I know some people are really proud to be Hispanic. Some people are really proud to be white. Some are really proud to be black. I just can't get that excited about race, because I have found a superior nation of people, and that is a rare form. They are a peculiar people. Some of them are black, some are white, some are brown, some are yellow, some are red, some are mixed. We don't know what they are. That doesn't matter, because above all, we salute this one thing, that we are all a peculiar people. We were nothing, and God reached down and picked us up, and praise God, he blesses us coming and going. Like the brother said, I'm so excited, I can't sleep, can't wait to get up in the morning, because God has promised me that I'm going to go out and get fruit tomorrow, and praise God, that fruit is going to remain, and whatever I ask the Father in the name of Jesus, praise God, it's coming to pass. Look at what he said in Ecclesiastes 2 and 8. I gather me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, the delights of the sons of men and musical instruments, that all sorts. The peculiar talent. He's going to give you peculiar treasure and peculiar talent. We used to have a woman here in San Antonio that run a radio station, and she was anti-Christian. She just hated Christians. She hated all churches. And she ended up being a disc jockey on a radio station. And she would play Becky Fender's music. And she'd say, she's the only Christian I know that's got a great voice. That voice is not something she developed. It's a particular, peculiar talent that the Lord promised us. If you will develop that peculiarity and let the Lord promote you to where you will have little unique talents that nobody can put a finger on. They can't figure out how you can get that done, how you can accomplish that, why you're promoted. It's just that God has given you peculiar treasure and peculiar talent, just the smallest little thing. But it's the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. Listen to what he said in Titus 2:14, who gave himself up for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, you're going to be zealous of good works. He said, you're literally going to like to do good. You know, living for God is just terrible if you hate to pray. If you hate to read the Bible, living for God is just tough. If you really resist going to church, it's tough. If you don't like to praise, it's tough. But when you develop a zeal for good works, you love to go to church. You love to pray. You love to worship. You love to witness. You find out